This audio presentation is the teaching of Michael Callen of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Mystery of Pleasing God, was delivered on July 21st, 2019. Here now is Mike Callen.
Know you yet, and we just like to just continue to serve you and be obedient and let the leaders of our church make wise decisions of what you have blessed us with. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, James and Jen. You know, these two guys, if you want to see what doing church as a team is all about, you just watch those guys, because they serve in just about every aspect of the church. They come early, and I'm just really grateful for them. They both make my jobs easier. And in fact, what is it, in November, yeah, Jen? Jen taking one of my messages, so I'm grateful for her. So can we say thank you to them once again? Well, this morning, like I said, Pastor Scott is not here. He stayed off in Waikoloa. And some time ago, he saw that this was happening. He also saw that I would be there doing officiating the ceremony. So he said, you know, I hate to put this on you, but you got to do the message at the end. I told him, no, I don't need. We get guys who can do the message. Didn't know about Jen back then. She probably would have had him. But every once in a while, there's a person who comes into your life, and right off the bat, when you meet them, it feels like they just belong. Yeah, they belong in your church, they belong in your family, they belong in your life. And today's speaker is just like that. And I'm just so grateful to God that He put Brother Mike into my life. Well, I mean, right off the bat, when I met him, Mike is such a vibrant and wonderful guy. It's like, I could have been going through the worst day in my life, and it would have been just so much better because he was there. And I know that can be echoed 100 times over, because many of you have relationships with him. Well, Pastor Scott and I heard that he had done messages before, so we looked at each other and said, Brother Mike. And so today, can we welcome Brother Mike Callen to do the message?
Good morning. I don't know if I can proceed. That was generous. When you said you could be going through the worst day of your life, I thought you meant it was because of me. I'm Mike Callen. I'm one of the ushers here. I'm supposed to be back there with those guys right now. I'm just one of you. I'm not pastoral staff. As Pastor Aaron mentioned, I did have a couple opportunities in the past at our previous church to stand in when our head pastor was out and do a couple messages, very, very infrequently over a long period of time. So I'm a rookie here. I'm not entirely a rookie. Maybe in the Hawaiian League I'm a rookie, but in the major league, you know, I've been there before. And so, you know, there can be a little bit of anxiety that comes from having somebody who you've never heard before stand in front of you and speak for 3, 4, 5 hours. And so I want to alleviate a little bit of the fear that you might have. So the previous times that I was able to, or had the honor of giving a message, I've kind of developed a routine afterwards. So you give the message, and then you go and you allow yourself one opportunity to go listen to the recording, because you want to learn, were there mistakes that you made? Are there improvements that you can make so that when you have an opportunity to speak before a group of people like this one more time, you can improve that situation? And the last time was back at our prior church in California, and it was about 3.5 years ago, and I remember finishing up church and going into my office and putting my headset on and listening to the message. And about 3/4 of the way through, I yelled, "Oh no!" And my wife, who was in the house but didn't know what I was doing, and all, just heard me yell, "Oh no!" come running into my office, and she's like, "What's wrong?" And I took my headset off. I said, "I'm sorry. I was just listening to the message." And I realized that about three quarters of the way through the message, when I was saying a sentence, I had intended to say Jesus, and I said Satan, which is a bad thing. And my wife immediately, without blinking, said, she goes, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. And I said, how could it possibly not be a big deal? I just confused the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the Father of Lies. How could you possibly say that? And she, without ceasing, said, because I really don't think anybody was listening to you. So we dodged a bullet there, didn't we? you can, Shelby? Yeah, there you go. We have this all coordinated. Everything's going to be perfect. So I want to start by telling a short story. I've never been a hunter, but I've always wanted to hunt. And when I got here, I was talking to Pastor Aaron, and I had expressed that to him, and he said, come on, I'm gonna take you out, and you know, we'll go hunting. And so he picked me up, and we went off to Upper Puna, and went off into the forest and packed our gear, and we started hiking through the forest. And we were walking along, and I remember we saw this round clearing ahead of us in the trees, which is odd because the trees are usually kind of pretty evenly interspersed. And as we got closer to this clearing, we realized that the reason why there was this round clearing in the trees was that there was this big puka that was in the ground. And unlike the lava tubes that, you know, run horizontally, this one was really strange because it went straight down, and it was so deep and it was so black that we couldn't tell where the bottom of it was. And so being boys, we immediately decided that we should throw something into the puka so we could try to figure out how deep it is. And so we were walking along looking for something suitable. We crossed across to the other side, and on the other side we saw this old rusty transmission, which of course made perfect sense to us. Why don't we pick it up and throw it into the hole? And so he grabbed the heavy end, I grabbed the light end, and we kind of walked it up to the edge, and one, two, three, and we cast it out into the middle of the puka, and down it fell. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Somewhere in between 1,003 and 1,004, we heard this rustling behind us. Immediately we turned and we looked back, and this goat came running towards us at 100 miles an hour. It ran right in between us, leapt off the edge of the puka, dove straight down, and disappeared into the blackness below. And we're just standing there, what the heck's going on? And before we could figure out, we heard another sound. We looked back, and Tomasano came walking up. And he's holding his head like this, and we're like, Tom, what are you doing here? He said, well, Lena has this property back here. I was mending fences, and all of a sudden my goat disappeared, and I'm just looking for it. I'm like, well, it's weird. A goat just came running past us about 100 miles an hour, and it must have been your goat. And he goes, I don't understand how it could have happened. I had him chained to a transmission. So, you're all dismissed. Have a wonderful day. So, obviously that's not a true story. But there's a reason for telling that story. And the reason is that we humans, and especially we boys, are enormously curious about mysteries that we encounter. And that's a good thing. God put that in us. He wants us to explore. He wants us to understand his creation. But further to that, there's implications to how we go about learning about these mysteries. You know, if we take the wrong approach, Tomasano could be minus one goat, for instance. If we take the right approach, then we can understand the mystery and there aren't any negative implications. And today what we're going to look at is what I'm calling the mystery of pleasing God. And in the same sort of spirit, we're going to look at this, try to look at this the right way. We're going to try to approach this from a perspective of using and leveraging God's word to understand this mystery of pleasing God. Can we please God? We all have lots of ideas about whether or not we're able to please God, and even what makes God happy. And so what we want to do is dig into God's word and sort of plumb the depths of this. This morning we're going to be, I'm going to be teaching from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9b, the second half of verse 9 through 12. And one of the things that you might notice if you look at it in your bulletin, this is only half of it right here, that all of that is just one sentence. So the Apostle Paul, who almost everybody agrees, wrote the book of Colossians, was a really wordy guy. He said things, he had these long, long sentences, and so long sometimes that when you're reading what it is that he says, it's a little hard to figure out what he's talking about. Sometimes you go back time and time and time and time again, and you read it, and I found that sometimes it's helpful to go through the text and try to remove some of the non-essential words to get to the gist of it, and so that's what I want to do with you here this morning as we go through this. So go back one. Okay, so I'm going to read this to you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You know, that's a sentence from Paul and that's pretty typical of him. But if we go back through that and you can do that in your bulletin here. You can either cross out some of the non-essential words or circle the essential words. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that Paul's words are unessential, but in terms of what we're talking about today, there's certain parts of this sentence here that really apply. So let's go through this and let's narrow down to just those words and we'll get a little bit better idea what Paul's talking about in this passage here. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Makes sense. So that you may please him in every way. One, bearing fruit in every good work. Two, growing in the knowledge of God. Three, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And four, giving joyful thanks to the Father. So what we want to do is we want to look at, I think you can go to the next one, but I don't remember, yeah. So what we want to do is we want to look at this passage right here in terms of what Paul has to say about us being able to please God and some really practical steps that I want to unpack one at a time. The first one being bearing fruit, the second one being growing in the knowledge of God, the second being strengthened with all power, and the fourth giving joyful thanks to the Father. So let's go ahead and start by looking at the first point, which is bearing fruit in good works. And point number one, I'm calling this to serve God. So go ahead and just go to the next one if you would, Shelby. Yeah. So in James, James, the brother of Jesus, is very clear what we're to do. Don't merely listen to the word so that you deceive yourselves. Actually do what it says. So there's a couple different, there's many different kinds of service, but there's two kinds of service that I want to point out and sort of differentiate between today. The first one is, I think it's the next one. The first kind of service or work is spontaneous service or work. The second one is called. So when we're talking about spontaneous service, we're talking about the kinds of things that just plain need to be done. I want to tell you a story. Our men's group meets the second and fourth Saturdays at 5:30 in the morning here. And one Saturday morning, after men's group, I went into the men's room. And immediately going in there, you could tell there was something wrong. It was smelled really, really bad. And I walked in and I glanced towards one of the stools and excuse me, but it was full of poop and toilet paper. It was like a cesspool above ground. And it obviously had been there for a couple of days and it smelled really terrible and it looked really disgusting. And I'm ashamed to tell you that I kind of hustled on out of there, and I remember thinking to myself, that's a real bummer because somebody's going to have to take care of that. And Came back early Sunday morning. I think the men's group was singing that morning, so we got here early, went into the restroom, and immediately could tell that nothing had been done about it. And so I went and I found Jaywin. It was when Pastor Jaywin was still here, and I said, "Hey, Jaywin, I need to find a plunger because there's a mess in the bathroom, and it's really bad." And Jaywin immediately said, "Let me help you." And so we went and we got a plunger, and we went into the bathroom, we pulled our shirts up over our faces, and we plunged this disgusting mess, and dirty water was splashing all over the place. And thank God it eventually drained, and after a couple flushes, we were able to clean up the situation and continue on with life. But there's nothing spiritual about poop. There's just nothing about it. There's no calling. There's no angels spoke to me and said, "Thou must clean the poop." None of that happens. But those things are things that are necessary to take care of so that we can have church. So that, you know, imagine you invited somebody to church on this day and they had to use the bathroom, and their impression of what's going on here is that kind of mess. So there's lots of things like that. There's just things that occur that you encounter, and those kinds of bits of spontaneous service are really, really incredible bits of service. On the other hand, there's types of service that we would call called service, and the called kinds of service would be like being pastors. You don't give a message up here on a weekly basis, you know, year after year, unless you're called to do it, because the spiritual warfare will just wipe you out. It's easy one time a year to stand up here because, you know, you use a year's worth of stories or jokes, you know. I mean, you can muddle your way through one time a year, but something like being a pastor or being a missionary, even being a teacher, being a first responder, those are the kinds of positions where it's only best to enter into those kinds of service if God's calling you, because if he calls you, you know that he's given you the spiritual gifts to be successful in that regard. And if he's given you those spiritual gifts, he's also going to make you successful. He's going to make himself look good through that kind of service. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It's really clear that the fruit, the work that we do, comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to tell you a quick story. I don't do any now, really, but back in the day, several years ago, I used to do web work, internet work, and I did it some of it on the side while I did my regular job, made a little bit of extra money. And there's a law firm in Sacramento that I did a significant amount of work for, and actually accrued $850 worth of charges with them. And I was getting ready to send them in their invoice, and God spoke really clearly to me, saying that I was supposed to take that money and not apply it towards our budget that we needed, because we had a significant amount of debt, but I was supposed to do something in particular with that money. And I went to my wife and I said, "You know, I really feel like God is telling me that I'm supposed to do this with this money. Are you okay with that?" And she immediately said yes. She was much more supportive this time than she was that other time. And she said, "Yes, absolutely. If you feel like God's calling you to do this, do this." And so the secretary, who was the person I coordinated with at this law firm, her name is Jennifer, and she had a son whose name was Craig, an adult son. And Craig was married, had been married a year and a half, and he had a brain cancer, a really, really nasty form of brain cancer. And I felt like God had said, "Take that money and buy a gift certificate for the fanciest restaurant in Napa Valley and give it to him." And so I did, and I gave it, I sent it to him through his mom, who I knew. I didn't really know him. And he and his wife and his brother and his brother's wife went, and they had this spectacular evening. It's a really, really expensive restaurant, and it's a really incredible experience. We got to go there one time, not because we could afford it, but it was a business thing. Somebody took us there. And it was really, really amazing. So it was a really incredible blessing. I got a card back from him, and I got some pictures of their evening there. And it was really a huge blessing to see. But it was an even a bigger blessing when a month and a half later, I got an email from his mom. And his mom said that he had passed. And further, that this was their last date. It was the last date that they went on. And how incredible to be a part of something like that. Just being obedient to some little tiny word that God gives you. Nobody could have known that that's what would have happened. But before I leave you with the impression that I'm some sort of spiritual superhero, let me tell you another story from the other side of the coin. There was I knew a guy secondhand. He's a famous person. His name is Ronnie, and I had an experience with him about, gosh, I can't even count. If I said 30 years ago, it was probably 40 years ago, but I don't know for sure. And he did something that was really, really exceptionally cool for a friend of mine. And it was one of those things that was totally unnecessary to do, but you learned a bit about that person and you knew that that person was really a righteous dude. And I always remembered that. And there was an occasion where our paths almost crossed again, but they didn't actually cross many years later. And I was sitting in my office. My office is at home, and I was sitting at the computer, and I felt like God saying, "Hey, you know, you should send a note to him and encourage him by what you know that story that you know about that happened so many years before." And I actually did a search, and I found a way that I could get this communication to him. And I started to type it up, and I had something else going on, and I said, "No, I'm going to do this tomorrow." And so I bookmarked the page, and then I went on with my day. And the next morning, I found myself out in the front working on one of our vehicles, and I heard the front door open up and close, and our son Scott, who many of you know, he's here about half a year, he came running out, "Hey, Dad." And I lifted my head up, and I said, "What?" And he goes, "Did you hear about Ronnie?" And I said, "No, what?" And he said, "Ronnie's dead. Ronnie shot himself last night." And so, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that I'm the cause of that. He had, unbeknownst to me, had been going through for many, many years some severe depression. I don't know that he ever would have even got the message. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I'm left with the thought of, you know, what if I had been obedient and I had sent that message and he would have received and it would have given him enough encouragement to get through the next day. I don't ever know. I will never know, but I'll tell you that if you hear me tell you something or make a connection or you're talking about something and I say, "Hey, I know somebody over here, let me connect you," I'm going to, from this point forward in my life, I'm going to be much more dedicated to saying those kinds of things and making those kinds of connections, because why? I don't want to be in that position again. I don't want to wake up realizing that I was maybe disobedient to the detriment of somebody. So in your bulletin, I left a couple blanks in there. In terms of service, you can fill them out now, you can fill them out later. It's completely up to you. But what I'm hoping that you'll do for each of these sections here, like in this one, how do I serve? Write down some things, how it is that you serve, spontaneously or how you're called. Write those things down. But furthermore, in the next blank, the how can I serve, think about how it is that God may be calling upon you to continue or step up that degree of service, to do something else, something different. I don't have anything in mind, but I'd like for you to be able to think about it from that perspective. The second point is growing in the knowledge of God, and under that section I put know God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So there's many ways that we can know God, and there's three repeated ways that happen all the time. In fact, my wife was listening to a message from Saddleback this morning, and the pastor mentioned these three things right then and there. In the book Experiencing God, which is a phenomenal book by Henry Blackaby, he also mentioned these three things, but it's study God's word, pray, and see what happens next. So studying God's word is an absolutely invaluable thing. Coming to church and hearing a message about what the pastor gets from God's word is not studying God's word. It's something that you do on your own or in separate groups in order to dig deeply, and it will pay dividends throughout your life. My mom, when I started in my ministry, parachurch ministry, it was in the Bible study area, and I did it for 15 years, and it was a really incredible blessing. But I remember one time my mom came up to me and she said, you know, when I read the Bible, it doesn't speak to me. When I read the Bible, I just don't get anything with it. And I remember saying to her, Mom, you've got to get into a Bible study. You've got to sit down with other people with some structured discussion questions, going through a topic and work through it together. That's how it starts to make sense, and it'll go on and on and on. And to this day, she still has neighborhood Bible studies with friends, and you know, they're always inviting people, and it's co-ed, her and her husband, and they bring people, they do food, and it's a social thing. But she went from being somebody who opened up the Bible and got nothing from it to somebody who's having Bible studies just by doing. There's so many resources that are out there. Bible Gateway. Let me say one other thing about studies. Ray and Dot have a study that John Quay leads at their house. Pastors always talk about having meetings in the mornings at Blaine's. Our men's group, we have studies here. Rebecca talked to me several times over the past year about starting a Bible study in HPP. Other people may have them. Other people want to start them. Go and do these things and sit down and start digging into God's word. If you have an opportunity to have a computer and have a good internet connection, Bible Gateway is a great resource. If you're not a good reader, you're not good at comprehending, you can start with a reading plan, and there's a little button that says, play this for me. You can click on it, and while you're reading the words, Max McLean will literally be speaking the words to you. So you can hear it, you can read it, and you can comprehend more. Right Now Media, if you've not signed up for Right Now Media, you're really totally missing the boat. The videos are fantastic. It's what we use at our men's group on the Saturday mornings when we meet. And you can just go search for a topic. You can search for a verse. Even when I was doing some research for this message right here, I went through and I listened to several messages on Colossians, and they were really, really super helpful. And these are all free resources that are there for us. So study, pray you're speaking directly to God, and see what happens next. In this message Elaine was listening to this morning, the pastor said, if you study and pray an hour a day, there's still 23 hours a day where you're not studying and praying. Those are opportunities to see what happens next, to see what God's doing. God's orchestrating all these instances and situations around you that will help to speak into your life and help you to understand, you know, where it is that he needs you, where he wants you to serve, what he wants you to do. So these things are all definitely great things to focus upon. So again, with point number two, I'd like to encourage you to mark down again now or later, how is it that you're learning now? And further beyond that, how is it that God's inspiring you to continue that learning so that you can get deeper into God's word? The third point is being strengthened according to his might. And the point that I'm putting here is rest in God. And that may sound a little bit strange to you, because strength and rest are kind of dissimilar sounding I was going to say pieces of grammar, but it doesn't really matter. They're dissimilar sounding words. They're dissimilar ideas. And the reason that I'm saying that, I'm not saying rest like a nap, to take a nap. I'm saying rest in God like abide in God. Pastor Dennis said something at men's group a few weeks back. We were talking, it was near when the end of our meetings, and he said, God likes it for you, for things to be a little bit challenging for you. He likes it for things to be a little bit challenging for you. And the reason why he likes that is because when you're in that position, it causes you to lean into God. And that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about being strengthened or rest in. We're talking about leaning into him. It's a strange concept. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so this weird thing in God's economy is Jesus talks about putting a yoke on us, which is a term used for a beast of burden where we're going to do the work. But in God's economy, it's the exact opposite. When he puts a yoke on us, the yoke is for us to lean into him and let him do the work. And this is something that we will experience. And there's lots of scriptural reasons to believe that this is so. In Ephesians 3, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. And again, in Philippians 4, it says, I can do this through him who gives me strength. Or the NASB says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Further in Colossians 1, in 29, it says, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me. So this is that exact concept that we're talking about here, is that Paul is laboring according to God's power, which is working through him, and that's what we're calling on in this particular instance. And again, remember, keep in mind the fact that these four terms that we're talking about them in terms of us participating in them and them ending up to be pleasing to God. So it makes God happy that we serve him. It makes God happy that we know him. It makes God happy that we are strengthened by him. And then the fourth point is it makes God happy that we give thanks to him. So again, I was talking to Pastor Dennis this morning, just before the message here, and he told me something, and I told him I wasn't comfortable fitting it in, but here's the Holy Spirit, it fits in perfectly, and what he said was, I had thanked him for praying for my dad. My dad has leukemia, and he went through melanoma surgery on top of that this week, and it was really stressful, and the surgery came out really well, and we're really thankful for that. But I had thanked him for praying that, and we were talking about praying and thanks, and he said, you know, God really likes to hear these thanks. But further, he said that corporately as a group, we all benefit from sharing those things. We share our prayer requests, but we benefit from sharing praises. And on the bulletins, we have these slips, and we fill out the slips and we put our prayer requests on there. And some of you are really good as well about filling those slips out and putting the praise reports in. What's the other side of that prayer request? And we should be more diligent in doing that because, again, we can all benefit from understanding how it can help us when we thank God. And that's just one other way that we can do that. I like to say when we're going through challenges that, and this is my goal, this isn't always how I do it, but I like to say to trust him in the front and thank him in the back. So, you know, we ask him to help us with things, and very often we do that not with a lot of faith that he's going to be able to do that or he's going to be willing to do that. And I think that we learn better, we grow better when when we actually not only ask him to help us with these difficult situations, but we thank him in advance that he's going to help us with that. And then on the back end of it, we give him those thanks. Again, this particular passage right here makes it clear that God really likes it when we thank him for these things. God is, even though God is spirit, God is a very verbal God. He speaks to us through prayer. Even if you think about the process of salvation itself, salvation is saying with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing with our heart that God raised him from the dead. That is salvation. So there's an aspect of being saved that is a verbal exchange with him, and that makes him very, very happy. You can go to the next slide. So this is, because this is New Hope, East Hawaii, we can't have a message without having a fishing illustration. this is my Omilu, and Jeff Huey helped me pull that up the cliff. One thing I've learned about my fellowship time with the men here is that I can catch fish, but I can't land one myself. I have to have somebody with me. I have yet to catch any decent fish by myself. So fishing, especially if you're sliding bait, it's a thanks thing. It's one of those opportunities to thank God, because we thank God that the conditions are good. We thank God that the moon is right. We thank God that the surge isn't too strong. We thank him that the waves aren't too high. We thank him that the tide is right. We thank him, if we're catching big fish, that we can catch bait first. Because if you don't catch your bait, you can't catch your fish. And then when you catch your fish, you're thankful. You thank him that it occurred. So fishing is a really, really great opportunity to be thankful for God. And clearly, it's a very spiritual activity. Okay, so go ahead and go to the next slide. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We sing that song all the time, and it's true. Go ahead. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is reiterating exactly what's being said in the Colossians passage. Go ahead. So these are shampoo bottles. And other than having once contained shampoo, they have one thing that's in common among all the different brands of shampoo, and that is the instructions. Have you ever noticed you flip over a bottle and what does it say? It says step one, lather, step two, rinse, step two, repeat. This is something, actually, I can't read the print on them anymore. I'm assuming it still says that, but it said that growing up when I could still see. And so this lather, rinse, repeat, it's this ubiquitous, universal instruction that's used everywhere. And one time I heard that there was a, you know those beauty magazines that are by the check stands, by the register at the supermarket? One of the reporters for one of these beauty magazines was at this big, huge beauty products show in Las Vegas, and she was talking to a representative from the shampoo company. And this, it was kind of interesting because she asked a question and the person was really honest with her, which I kind of was surprised that she was. She said to her, these shampoo bottles always say lather, rinse, repeat. Is it really necessary to repeat? I mean, you're lathering, you're rinsing, do you really have to wash your hair again? And the gal laughed and she said, no, it's not. She goes, when you wash your hair's either dirty or it's clean. It's not, you know, dirty, clean, or cleaner. It's not the way that it works. She goes, well, then why do you have that instruction on there? And she said, well, if everybody on the planet washed their hair twice instead of once, we'd sell twice as much shampoo. It's kind of funny. But the whole shampooing your hair thing, it's a binary thing, like flipping a light switch. A light is either off or on, right? Your hair is either dirty or clean. It's not dirty, clean, or cleaner. And when we look at this particular process right here of trying to please God by bearing fruit, by growing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened according to his might, and giving thanks to the Father, what we realize is that these things, they work together in coordination with one another. So when God asks you to do something and you do it, then in step two, you learn something more about God. You learn about his faithfulness. You learn about his provision. And from there, you learn that you're strengthened and that that strength comes from him. And from there, you want to go ahead and you want to give thanks to him. And so once you go through that process one time, that lays a foundation. And so when you come back to the point again where he's asking you to do something one more time, it can be a step up higher, and you have confidence to do this. And so unlike that one-dimensional thing, going through this process, stepping through these four things time and again, it helps to add together in a way that it increases this foundation. It's kind of like a spiral in your spiritual life. And go ahead and go on to the next one. So this next to last couple points here, this 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is spiritual development that results in trust. And so the point is that Paul's talking about doing these things, about taking these four steps, and in doing so, it pleases God. But in doing so, it also helps us to grow spiritually as Christians. It helps us to trust him more, to operate more in his community, which, of course, then pleases God more. So this whole process that increases over time. And now I want to go ahead and talk to you about the bottom line. And on the bottom line, you probably notice John Brown does this. Pastor Aaron does this. When they finish messages, we end with a bottom. We all call it something different. It could be a last word. It could be a bottom line, whatever. But there's a reason why we do that, and I want to explain it from my perspective with this message right here, and it's really important that you know. So think about in today, Pastor Scott isn't here. Next week he'll be here, and if he walks up to you and he says, how was the message last week? Then you're going to say, it was good. The Howley guy talked about poop, shampoo, and he showed his fish. And that's not exactly the spiritual truth that we want you walking away from here, nor is it the report that we want you giving to our pastor. So the bottom line is, it's this nugget that we think is a spiritual truth that we've extracted from the Word of God, and it's something that you can carry into this day, into this week, and even into your whole life as a Christian. And so the bottom line for this message is this right here. There's basically two sets of people that I want to talk to about this. First one is the believers. If you're already a believer in Christ, then understand that going through this process of trying to please God is something that gives you spiritual balance, and furthermore, it gives you more significance in your life because of the reasons I described. Because as you go through that process, those four steps, again, it's a multidimensional thing. Every time you go through it, you have more and more trust in him. You're able to step out in faith and to do more things, and you're able to please him more and have more significance in your life. And if you're a seeker, if you've not yet trusted in God in terms of being your Savior and stepping into your life, very often we find that the reason why is that because people feel as though they can't please God. People feel as though they've done things that preclude them from being able to reconcile themselves from God. I've done things that are too terrible that God couldn't possibly be pleased with me. But when we look at the things that we've explored today in Colossians and many other verses that support it, what we notice is that there's nothing in there about our past There's nothing in there about our past that pleases God. None of the things that we would go through and we would step through are things that have to do with that. And in fact, a couple spiritual truths that we get from all over the Bible. One is that we are all sinners, every single one of us. And the other thing is all sin is against God. Every single one of us. Heck, I told you that I didn't respond to somebody and he killed himself. Every one of us have done things that by all means and all rights would preclude us from reconciling with God, but that's not the way that God works, and that's not the way that God's happy with us. So don't let your past prevent you from moving forward and having this significant life. Did you want to come up? That's it? Is it 4 o'clock? No worship? Yeah, okay, sorry. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, or I'm going to ask whoever's going to come up. And Shelby, I told you this was going to be great. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. So I want to pray with you. I had intended to pray in the opening, and I don't think I did, and I'm sure I'll discover that when I listen to the recording. But I want to pray with you right now. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you say when two or more gathered in your name that there you are. We know that that means that you have joined us here this morning. Lord, the worship team has ushered us into your presence, and we have had the wonderful, incredible opportunity of sharing truths from your word this morning. Lord, I pray for my friends and neighbors who are out in this sanctuary this morning, and I ask that you would touch each and every one of them at their greatest point of need this morning. I pray that you would encourage them to look more closely at these four steps, depending, you know, either way, whether they're believers or seekers, that they would look at these steps, that they would understand that they can approach you, and that by following some simple steps that you truly can be pleased with them and pleased in their lives and add significance to their lives that they could never, ever possibly dream would be true. And Lord, we just thank you once again for this church that you've provided, for this opportunity to fellowship together. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
And we say thank you to Brother Mike. See, did I not tell you, no matter what you're going through, after you talk sorry with this guy, you just feel better, yeah? God is good. And I thank him for all of the people that he's placed in our lives, especially each and one, every one of you. Why don't we stand and let's ask God to make us into the people that he is pleased with as we sing, to make us salt and light. Let's sing.
You've been listening to Mike Callen of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.